Bradley.
All right. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 1:30 agenda item, and it is budget workshops, and Southwest District Health will lead this part off. So, welcome, Nikki.
Thank you, sir. Before we get started, I'd like to introduce our new financial officer, Aaron Howard. So, Aaron, Board of County Commissioners. I will go ahead and start off going over the first part of the budget proposal that the Board of Health has approved, and then I have Aaron go through some of the more details of the budget aspects, and then following that, we have an impact report that we can share with you and answer any questions you might have.
Okay.
So I will go ahead and start with the budget book, and I'll be on page 2, and I'm not going to read all of this to you verbatim, but I'll just give you kind of the highlights. Feel free to interrupt me if you have any questions. This year's, our fiscal year 2026 budget, which for the public health districts will start, public health district will start on July 1st of this year, includes some additional investments in our food safety and protection program, WIC, which is Women, Infant, and Children's Program, home visiting, and our pre-prosecution diversion program that we partner with Canyon County on. And those additional investments are specifically because of a growing demand for services in those areas. Our budget also will include a one-time expenditure for some landscape and signage repairs that are needed following the expansion of Highway 55 right in front of our main building. And those expansion, those repairs will be covered with funding that ITD has compensated us for. And then I want to just touch a little bit on our process for kind of high level in how we develop our budget and manage our budget. There's more details further on in the budget proposal for your review if you have interest in that. But from the district's perspective, we want to ensure that every position has an essential role and purpose in the organization. And so we continually are evaluating that. And when we have vacancies that occur or funding streams that go away or change, we reevaluate the need for those positions and before making a decision on whether to refill it or to move forward in a different direction. When applicable, we will ask our board to establish fees to recover costs for services, and that is a statutory obligation for our board to do. And we will also pursue public and private grant funding to help deliver services directly that directly aligns with our mission and priorities of the health district. And then lastly, we want to strategically use the county taxpayer funding that we do receive to address the public needs that can't be fully supported by either programs and services that can generate fees or are covered through other funding opportunities. I'm going to now move on to page 4. And this is just a list of our current Board of Health members. And Commissioner Brooks from this county serves on our Board of Health and is currently our vice chairman. He's also volunteered his time to help us with some review of our financial policies and guidelines, which we've appreciated his help in that so far. On page 5 is a high-level organizational chart of the district. It has our Board of Health there at the head, and then myself as the director that is appointed by the board, and then our divisions within the district, and then within those our programs and smaller level services or programs. Page 6 just outlines the history of the health district, so this shouldn't be new to you. Since you've all been here for a while. And our health district is there in the southwest corner of the state. We've been in existence now for over 50 years, and there's a little bit of a blurb there on how our purpose is defined in Idaho statute. On page 7 is a high level of our district population and some unique characteristics about our population. You will see that the population numbers for our district, there's two different numbers there. One is the total in the table of 345,696, and then a smaller number in the infographic. The one in the table is the most up-to-date number. We just updated that when the 2025 census estimates came out for population. And towards the bottom of that page, you'll see the leading infectious reportable diseases that were reported in 2024 in our district by age group, as well as the leading causes of death. And as our role as the health district is we monitor those and want to focus on preventing premature death and disability in our district. On page 8 is a high-level summary of the health needs and priorities within our health district. And these are informed by our community health needs assessment that's done in collaboration with other partners across the 10 counties in Southwest Idaho. And the last one was completed in 2023. We're in the process of repeating that assessment currently, so we may have some updates to this list, but our health district and our partners across the 10 counties have been really trying to focus efforts on safe and affordable housing and homelessness, behavioral health, including mental health and well-being and substance misuse, and access to affordable health care, including oral health and oral and vision health. And then the last one on there, decreasing the number of youth entering foster care, has been a priority for the director of the Department of Health and Welfare. And in our district, we are often leading the way for the number of children that are in foster care across the state. And there's some top reasons there that we've identified for reasons that children are removed from homes in our district. And so we've been working with the department on, one, being able to collect data to help inform our programs and services that we have at the district that can be leveraged and strategically implemented to try and reduce the number of children being removed. So that, I'll go ahead and pause and turn it over to Erin to start jumping into the budget pieces, unless there are any questions at this time.
So in general terms, how do you implement safe, affordable housing?
That's a great question. And our, Mr. Chairman, our focus has not been so much on affordable housing and homelessness because that's a little outside our mission. So other partners in our community focus in that area. We have talked internally about how we could do better about informing safe housing. We have a lot of homes that we get nuisance complaints on and feel like that's a space where we could talk about how, you know, to prevent mold, rodent infestations, issues with open dumping, things of that nature that do relate to the work of public health. So that's where we've been thinking about how we could better work with the community.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I guess move on.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, my name is Erin Howard with Southwest District Health. I'm a financial officer. I'll start us off on the executive summary located on page 9. I won't read it verbatim, but I'll pull out a couple of the highlights. County contributions are forecasted to rise by 2.25%, which equates to roughly $70,000 in total funding increases from the counties. We are expecting a 3.1% increase in our receipts from land development and subsurface sewage. But of the county funds that come to Southwest District, roughly every dollar that you give from a county perspective equates to $5.33 coming back to your community. So we have a small section kind of highlighting that aspect of it. Moving on to page 10 and 11. Page 10 defines our budget calendar and how we go about establishing our budget, both from a facility and infrastructure plan to actually creating the budget itself. It also has on page 11 financial information for how we report to our federal partners, to our counties, from a basis of accounting and then cost accounting, which we are cash basis. On page 12 is our fiscal year 2026 budget request summary. So in table one, moving left to right, you will see our full-time employment numbers. So in state fiscal year 25, our adopted budget had 104 positions. In this year's budget request for fiscal year 2026, we are asking for 110.7. Those are made up of positions that are located on page 13, most of which are federally or state funded, grant funded. On page 12 in figure 1, it shows our population increase and our full-time employment trends from 2005 to 2025. Is a population and budget request trends. You'll notice that the budget follows the population much more closely when it comes to actual spend as compared to our full-time employment positions remain relatively flat over time. Page 13 again just shows the fiscal year 26 new positions that we're asking for and then provides details of those positions.
Aaron, can I interrupt you for a second? On page 9, that top bottom of the top paragraph says county contributions are forecasted to rise by 2.5% for equating to 70,000, a little over that. Is that because of the trends that we're seeing on 12? How does contributions rise?
Yeah, so we do a calculation, which I'm going to get into in the next couple of pages, but basically it's based on your population and your net taxable values for
70-30 formula.
That's a 70-30 split, 70% being population and 30% being net taxable amounts. So for your county specifically, once we get there, you guys will notice that you are accounting for most of the increase in funding coming to us, and that's all designed based off of statute and the calculation itself. So the good news is your population is growing and your houses are going up in value.
To some, it might be, yes. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Back to page 14, this is our budget summary from a proposed total dollar standpoint. So moving left to right, I'll start off in fiscal year 26 proposed budget. Our total budget for 26 from a perspective of revenue is $17,330,535. And you will also notice that that directly ties to our district expenditures. That's up from a $15.7 million approximately in state fiscal year 2025. Our salary and wages growth does have a COLA with inside of it of 3%. That has been accounted for with inside of the budget you see before you. Page 15 is the same information in chart version. You will notice that state grants has approximately $3 million from Magellan and Crisis Centers. Last year, you probably would have saw that in other revenue, but it comes from state funds or state grants, so we wanted to show it there to you. So the discrepancy from 25 to 26 is just in an accounting definition.
Okay.
Any questions on page 14 or 15?
I have a question.
Sure.
How do we allocate the interest in the budget? What do we do with that?
So it goes underneath the revenue under city and grants, so it decreases. The interest decreases the county portion. So let's say We had $100,000 worth of interest. It would decrease what the counties ultimately contribute. And it's accounted for with insider revenue. Offsets our expenditures on the bottom chart.
So the, I didn't notice this in the meeting. So the budgeted interest is net $410,000. And we're still asking for $45,000 additional dollars on top of that from the counties?
That's correct.
Do you have a question?
No, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
And I should say that city and grants in the top revenue chart are separate from interest, but I was describing how they interact with each other. Sorry if I confused you there. Page 16. 16 is how we calculate county contributions. This is per section 39424 is how where this calculation comes from. But when we're looking at the bottom chart on page 16, you will see population growth from 24 moving left to right, from 24 to 25, and then the population percentage change over that year. Now you'll notice Canyon County at 3.58%, and then the next net taxable values from 23 to 24 in the calendar year, increasing by 8.5%. On page 17, Mr. Chairman, this answers kind of your question from earlier. Moving left to right, it shows population in 24 and the current percentage that that is dictated within the calculation. So basically what this is saying is that if we need approximately $3.2 million, 70% is weighted for population, 30% is weighted based on your market value. And then it takes the $3.2 million and it divides it out correspondingly to the counties for their share. You will see your total for fiscal year 25. Right next to it to the right is your total for fiscal year 24. That is your full fiscal year. So when looking at the bottom chart, which says county contribution year over year, that's a split state fiscal year. So if you're doing the math, those two won't necessarily tie together because we split our state fiscal year and your state's fiscal year. So it changes the math if you have your calculator out and are trying to do that. That's the difference. So changes from year 2025 to fiscal year 2026 for Canyon County, I'm on the bottom chart here, is $56,150, roughly a 2.34% increase. Any questions on page 16 and 17?
Chairman?
Yes.
On page 14, thank you for your information that's been provided. You have a capital expenditure that's not going forward. Can you refresh my memory on what that is?
I'm looking at Aaron, but he wasn't here when we budgeted this. I know we updated our HVAC unit. Our cooling tower needed repaired on our HVAC unit. That was one of the expenses. And I think that might have been, I know we ended up doing it for less than that, but that might have been, that's the only capital project that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay. And on the, I haven't done the analyzing on the total bottom number, but if you took that negative 100%, are you looking at the year over year percent increase? Is that taking, how are you accounting for that capital expenditure at, or maybe it's not aggregate, I'm not sure. I'm trying to interpret your numbers because I guess I'm just trying to get at the 3% increase on the COLA I heard you say that, but I'm looking at the year-over-year percent increase, which is more than 3%. What am I missing? Help me.
So with inside a salary and wages, you have a 3% COLA, but then you also have 7 additional staff that we're asking for.
Right, okay.
So in totality, it's a 9.4% increase from last year to this year.
Okay, and that makes sense. I wasn't accounting for your additional people.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Commissioner, our capital expenditures are often, and I'm not sure that I can't speak to it for sure this year in this budget cycle. I'd have to go back and look, but we often will pull from board committed funds for facility improvements that are at this type of cost to the district. So it's not necessarily like built into the ongoing budget, if that makes sense. It's pulled out of our savings to help cover the cost of that kind of sizable capital improvement.
Okay, and then can you talk briefly about the trustee and benefits at 12.2%?
Yes, so trustee and benefits are our crisis centers.
Okay.
Mostly funded by Magellan dollars coming through and or state grants that are were restricted and are carrying forward into state fiscal year 26.
Okay, thank you.
Looking at page 18 and 19 now, the next few pages go through each of our divisions specifically and talks about what each division does and then their corresponding budgets. Moving forward a few pages into page 24 and 25, these pages describe our fiscal policies. So, for example, how we look at our general financial goals, as well as our budgeting policies and our revenue policies. This is how we report to our federal partners and then our counties. It also defines what makes a capital budget, for example, on page 25. Pages 26 and 27 specifically outline our budget guidelines. And then also our budget authority per district. So when looking at our programs specifically, when you pass our budget, it goes into programs and those allocations, so to speak, is what we follow. So for example, if we were to want to move $100,000 from one program to another, then we would go before our budget authority to ask for that permission. In the appendix, or page 29, is our state fiscal year 26 budget broken out by division and the programs that funds support. Any questions or clarifications that are needed?
So on page 17, you see this often. I know you're new, but do you see it often that while Canyon County goes $56,000 additional dollar change, we have four other counties who have a reduction? Is that because of population, or is that because of property values, or?
It's a little bit of both. It's like if you want to think about it from a pie perspective, the math is just weighting it more heavily and you're growing faster and your net market value is increasing more than the others. So the math problem is dictating the following calculations. Maybe Nikki, you can talk to previous years.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the other thing that I would add is that historically we've asked for a 3%, and when we've asked for more, it seems like everybody ends up paying more or about the same, not usually a reduction. So I think that might have also contributed to that this year, is that we're asking for less than we normally would, or historically have, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in combination with what Aaron said has resulted in these changes this year.
Okay.
because I'm just wrestling with our good old 389 where we're getting less and less funds that we can address to things. And it's like, well, I wish I was one of the counties who got less. We literally have less to deal with, to give out or to operate on. And yeah, you can see that we're growing, but we're growing a budget that has less disposable income.
Chairman, this is the Captain Obvious moment, but even though the dollar change is less because you're budgeting less, is what I heard you say, I'm assuming that the services provided to the counties that are paying less have not diminished. You're continuing to provide at a stable level. So I would support the chairman's position of confusion that to pay less for the same service, and conversely, it doesn't make sense.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Commissioner, if I could address that. And it's, to your point, yes, I think that our services to those other counties will stay rather consistent. I would also add that some of the increasing demand for services and the FTE increases are largely driven by the growth in Canyon County, like for the food protection position. Food establishments are starting up and growing in Canyon County much more than they are, say, like Washington County, for example, and Owyhee County. So while they're not maybe getting more services per se, the demand for services in Canyon County is also outpacing, I would say, some of our rural counties.
Thank you.
And Chairman, just briefly, sorry to be late, but the formula, you know, checks out the percentage of population plus the value. And since you're discussing population, it's only going up. So Compass already has 25, updated 25 numbers. So when we're having this conversation a year from now, just brace yourself for the same sort of net effect.
You can appreciate our point of view that we're giving you more money, and at the same time, it's in question about COLA or anything else on our side, and yet you guys are living life large, and it's like we're the largest contributor, and we aren't living life large. So it's a little bit galling, or it's a little bit indefensible for this board to supply that contribution, and yet our own people aren't going to get treated as well as you are. So there's becoming a disparity of funds, and I'm not saying that we are going to solve it in this meeting. I'm just putting it on the table that we're on a collision course that's not going to be pleasant to live through politically.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I acknowledge that, and I know it's not something unique to Canyon County either, in
right.
The state of Idaho, and you know, I would say we want to be part of a solution as much as you do. It's not comfortable to also be in a position where we feel like our work is important and not necessarily feel like it's always supported.
Right, right. Your work is paramount because there's no other agency that's there to do it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'm curious what the ask would be if we didn't have any interest. Because the interest alone is 13.1% of the current year we're in. And I don't know if I brought this up in years past or I just didn't know it until now, but I don't think it doesn't seem like it's very transparent that we're taking all of the interest and putting it towards the county contribution and then saying we're only requesting a 2.25% increase when that's not accounting for the 13.1% increase that we've basically hidden.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Brooks, I feel like we have been transparent in that our interest has always been projected, and that it's part of our revenue that helps offset costs, or helps, I guess it just helps cover the cost of services.
I'm just saying it's in regards to And I'm not saying it's intentional, but I would imagine most of the board is not looking at it like there's 13.1% increase plus the 2.25 increase on top of it. I mean, that's what, over 15% increase. That number hasn't been thrown out. It's just what we see in the chart, because the significant burden has been chewed up by the interest. And
we've always, like, had our interest counted as revenue to, like, to support our budget, I guess is what I'm saying. So it's, there's always some percent in there that's, I don't know if there's another way to explain that, but.
And Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I think I would also state that I'm not sure about the growth from the interest year over year. This could just be because I'm new, meaning I think we can manage our cash better, which will increase our interest. And we manage our cash better by retaining lower amounts of cash on hand and then keeping more cash within inside of our bond fund, for example. So we get higher interest rates. Obviously, interest rates impact your interest as well, which is out of our control. So I would say there probably is a little bit of risk to that projection from a perspective of if they start to cut interest rates, right, your interest,
sure,
it does increase or goes down rather. But then there's also a management part portion to this, which is, can we run a leaner daily cash on hand than we have in the past? So maybe my abilities are overshooting here, or what I think of my abilities, but I would say that accounts for some of the difference as well.
So if theoretically the economy tanks, there's no interest to be earned, do you have a 13% vacancy on your next year's budget? I mean, does that mean that role to just stay level, that you're going to have to increase contributions from the counties 13%? I mean, divide it out in the methodology that you've done.
Mr. Chairman, I can say that historically, we've never requested more than a 3% increase, and if we've needed to, we have shrank our staffing or services
I see.
To stay within that budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an old fart. I've had interest income municipally at 21.9%, and I've had it down to 0.1%. So that's my life in interest earnings. So I get pretty cautious about interest earnings. It goes all over the board, and it's bit us before. So, okay. Other questions? Okay. We've interrupted your presentation. Is there other?
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
If there are more questions, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to just briefly talk about the impact report.
Okay.
Okay. We've been putting this together now for a few years, so this might look somewhat familiar to you, although we're still trying to figure out the best format and ways to communicate the work that we're doing in each county. On page 5 starts the work that we done, that we completed, and this isn't all-encompassing, but we would like to highlight some of the things that we do from July 23rd. July 2023 to June 2024. Page 5 highlights, just by the numbers, some amount of services that we've provided in many of our program areas. We also highlight the number of WIC voucher monies that are spent locally, and in that period, just over $3.9 million was brought back to the community in WIC vouchers. Speaking of, restaurant inspections, we completed almost 1,600 in that period. And like I mentioned, we have pretty substantial growth in that area. So I imagine the number will be bigger in next year's report. Same with our septic inspections and land development. On the other pages, the following pages, I won't go through all those in detail, but they're there for you to read, just some of the ways that our staff have been working with community partners, including Canyon County, to deliver services, to provide education around public health needs in our community, and partner with other organizations to work on some of those health priorities that I mentioned earlier in my presentation. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have also about this report.
Do you have, I'm not familiar with the other counties, does any of the other counties in our district have high nitrate priority areas, study areas? Are we gifted and talented above all?
You're definitely up there,
yeah.
Mr. Chairman. I want to say maybe Payette County does as well.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Environmental staff here.
Do we have any protocol? I'm looking for help as a commissioner who's charged with land use decisions. Do we have any technical health? We're getting to have reports that within the agreements of authorizing a change of land use that there's agreements being made that there won't be any cross-contamination or percolation of a drain field crossing the property line. And I'm getting to be a little bit uncomfortable about having that written into our stuff, because who's enforcing that? Are we through our relationship with each other? And if so, who's liable? You guys have gone out and inspected the installation, but septic tanks don't go away. They're a long, long, long-term deal, especially if they're on a slope, water runs downhill. I just see that we're pushing ahead, trying to allow people the use of their land, and I'm getting become very uncomfortable with some of the conditions that we're addressing. Can we work together to be sure that we're being fair to the public and fair to the county going forward?
Mr. Chairman, that's a great question, and I would welcome that conversation with the county. And there, I know there's some new laws on the book, too, regarding new wells and domestic wells that I think we need to be mindful about with new development. So I definitely think that would be a great conversation to have.
Okay.
With the county and our environmental staff as well.
So in your environmental staff, let's explore this for just a second. Say that you have a well that has extremely high nitrates or it has arsenic or whatever the constituent is, that there's a health guidance on levels that are beyond normal.
Mm-hmm.
Are you an agency that the county could utilize in land use decisions as a technical reference?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Because it is, to me, it's a health issue.
It is. Yeah. So
okay.
I'm one of those residents in your county, too.
Yeah. And, you know, we have some high nitrate wells out by Greenleaf. They're really high. They exceed 30. There's one that's 38, and it's just like, quit using your water. Let's have you do something different or get some kind of RI on your system or something like that. But the other ones that are arsenic that are a little bit challenging to deal with, and so.
There's also uranium.
We just recently ran into an area that is testing really high on that, so.
Yeah, and our team has been working on trying to encourage well water testing for residents, and then also trying to map that better so that we can make better land use decisions.
Okay, excellent. Okay, sorry to just focus down into one thing.
That's okay.
The other thing that I want to toot the horn on is the pre-prosecution diversion program. I think. Unfortunately, it's hard to bring hard statistical numbers to show the public the success of that, but it doesn't take very many to really make both a difference in the quality of life in your community and also for those individuals and the cost of dealing with that. So I applaud that program.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I might add that we have other counties that are really interested in that as well. So we're trying to find ways to support
them. Strongly encourage them to pursue it. Yeah.
Chairman, I just had a question. We're fortunate that Commissioner Brooks serves on the board for both Southwest District Health and the Board of County Commissioners. He's the most informed legislatively and lobbies in really good ways to protect the interests of Canyon County and be just a great voice on both sides for good government. So I had a question on whether Southwest District Health lobbied or provided information to legislators this year. You mentioned the restaurant inspections and there's some other things. What was your input to the legislators? Did you testify at the State House? Did you give them numbers to help support the position? Because if the restaurants were providing, I mean, I see that as a cost of doing business for them, which would lower the tax burden for by however much. I don't know what the numbers are, but what's, as a board director, what's your position on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, thank you for that question. And I knew I was going to get a smile from Commissioner Brooks. So thank you for bringing that up. That was not covered in our presentation, but there are things that the health district does that are regulatorily required, like the food protection program, which is a very important program in our state, and that we want to support. It is a program that is subsidized by the taxpayers, about half the cost of us delivering that service is covered by taxpayers, and there is a philosophy among our board and our staff that it should be probably the cost of doing business. Unfortunately, those fees are set in statute, and we have worked a few times successfully over the last 30 years to try and get those fees to closer cover the cost, but that's where we are today. And our board last fall adopted several policy positions and resolutions. And one of those was specifically related to the food protection program. And Commissioner Brooks was a great champion for the health district on that behalf. It's going to take a lot more work. And I know he and I have already talked about working on it this summer with our legislators ahead of the upcoming session to try and move the needle on that specifically. I did not provide any testimony this past year, but I did provide input to legislators regarding the position statements that the board has had approved for the district.
Okay.
Another example of one that did get through was a resolution that we had to ban the marketing of illicit drugs like marijuana and marketing of those products in our state. And Representative Boyle had sponsored that legislation and got that through. So that was something that we had a success on and was appreciative for. But.
Great. So, Chairman, I would submit that we need to make those portions of our open meetings highlight that part of the public record, because your little old lady who no longer has transportation from the public services that doesn't go to restaurants is paying to have those inspected. And I think that we're probably assuming too much to think that the legislators are tuning into our budget meetings, but that is an area where if they could understand what's happening to local government and the restrictions that they've placed on that, there's some responsibility on their side to help partner with the county to keep that tax burden low.
Pay to play.
Yep.
Praise. Yes. All right. Anything else?
My last comment is I still want this increase to come out of fund balance.
Can you elaborate on that, Chairman? Can he expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, that needs a little bit of expansion to the public.
Well, it's just like the county. We have, you know, funds that have, you know, it's basically a savings account, and this is a total of a $45,000 ask, and we have couple magnitudes, well, maybe not two magnitudes, but We have enough to cover it in fund balance at the health district, so it would be nice if the board would go along with that. So I don't know if that is something that you have entertained bringing up again, or if I need to bring it up at the next meeting or Friday's meeting. But
Chairman, can I ask a couple of questions? What's your fund balance compared to your annual budget? And then I hear that it's the health board as a whole that determines whether or not that can come out of fund balance. So there's two questions there.
I think I remember it was something like 1.7 million that we had
in fund balance.
Yeah, because there's what? There's three buckets: restricted,
restricted, and committed.
But there was a third one. There was before. Anyways, maybe there's not anymore. So after we went through the discussion and the exercise, I think we came down to there was about 1.7 million that was available. And I think the proposed overall budget is around 17 million, isn't it?
I think it's on, I found it on page 18, $17,033,535.
That's
a,
yeah.
But that's the overall budget. That includes like all the grants and everything that we
okay.
get. Of the county contribution part, I mean, it's essentially 50%.
So our fund balance, the health board's fund balance is 50% of the annual budget is what I heard you say.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that, but as of the county contribution request, it is.
And I'm going to say it again for the record, but your proposal is to have the fund balance cover the county's portion of the requested
yes, that,
increase.
That's what I previously brought up in a different meeting.
Chairman, I have a question on that. If fund balance from them were to offset the county's contribution, the way the formula works on what all the other counties contribute would also, I think, be affected. I think we're all in it together with the way the formula works. I could be wrong on that.
That's correct.
Yeah. So I don't think we can just be like, hey, King County share, take from there. It would be
that. No, I'm not advocating for just our share. I'm advocating for the whole ask.
This year's increase.
Well, just this year's request to be soaked up by fund balance rather than any additional increase or decrease to the counties in the district.
So, Nikki, does the board have a policy on what the goal is to how high your fund balance gets for the reserves?
Mr. Chairman, regarding our board committed fund, we do not have like a maximum. With that regard, it is something that we are currently working on with a budget work group that Commissioner Brooks is on and our chairman and another board member to talk about what our board committed fund should be, like have a plan for it. So we have, for example, the largest portion is that our board and all of our board committed funds are committed for specific purposes. There's not just like a general slush fund. We have the majority of it is for like facility improvements. If we had just made a decision to like purchase land or rent a facility or something like that. But so we have that. And then we have the other largest committed fund amount that we have is for the 27th pay period that happens every 11 years, which is coming up, I think, next fiscal year, not this coming fiscal year, but the following. So we, our board decided like 10 years ago that we would start putting money away for that, so it's not such a huge financial burden on us and the counties when that happens.
Sure.
So those are a couple examples of how those board committed funds work. Like I said, we don't have a specific cap on that, but it is something that we're discussing with some board members right now to kind of clarify the policy and the goals for the district.
Sure. Okay. All right. Good.
I thank you, Commissioner Brooks, for looking through that and making it inclusive for all that, what's the total amount that would be needed under the proposal to have all the counties included in a use of fund balance for that requested increase?
$45,000 on the bottom of page 17.
Okay. Okay. So out of 1.7, the request is 45,000.
But what that would do is that the counties would contribute less than what's even in here, is what I was trying to say. The use of fund balance would have to run through the formula, and then those counties. So some counties would actually be contributing less year over year if you were to contribute, because that the way that 45 nets out, that's less than what counties, King County's contribution is.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, on page 9, there's the 2.25% increase equating to $70,264. I think that's a better number to use because that will align with your fiscal year.
Okay, thank you. More discussion is what I think I see on people's face.
What page was that? I'm sorry.
Page 9 in the executive summary.
Oh, gotcha.
It also masks out on page 17 in the total differences in the first chart.
Yeah.
I'll just share with you a scenario that happened to us in real time. A past board was confronted with a really large fund balance. Nobody had a real great plan with it. A very strong personality came in and said, well, let's just reduce the whole budget $14 million. The first proposal was to reduce the entire yearly annual budget to take the whole budget out a fund balance reserved account. So I'm coming at it from a different angle than you are, and I guess I'm giving you a word of caution. Unless you have a really good proposed plan for your fund balance, you're fully open to a future board that's going to show up and say, well, let's just take this whole amount and let's just do XYZ with it without a plan. And so we're living that in real time. We're still trying to dig out of a $14 million deficit that a state legislature gave a plan that we couldn't easily claw back from that deficit. So I would strongly recommend that you challenge your board to get a clear and cut policy so a future board can understand why you have that and why it's going to, why it needs to stay, or maybe there is an amount that could be spent. I don't know that answer. You guys will. But Commissioner Brooks and I have gotten to live with a $14 million deficit that we're trying to claw out of. And it's very frustrating management style that doesn't work well for the future.
Yeah, and Chairman, I'm supporting what you're saying, but I would submit that it's not $14 million, it's $25 million, because when you increase costs without revenues, then you have to account for that as well. So it was a plan that was not well vetted.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, I really appreciate those words of wisdom, and I'm thankful that we're having these conversations now with our board members so that we hopefully set up the organization for future success and not
absolutely
knees per se come off the knees.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that we can get the licensing or the inspection on the food organizations. I hope that can start getting moves towards that self-sustaining, and we're not robbing Peter to pay Paul to get her done. So.
Yeah, I agree. And Commissioner Brooks is committed to me, I think, to to help us work on that, and it really helps to have board leadership involved. So we really appreciate his time and effort in that.
Yeah, for sure.
You see way more catering, way more food trucks. That's a trend that's going to be moving because it's so much more profitable than brick and mortar, and you can't blame them.
Well, I'm going to say it again because I like being a cheerleader. Best health district board representative in my tenure. So I appreciate. He hates when I do that, but it is the truth. Really involved, really careful, and great with helping to find solutions that reflect good government. So thank you.
Thank you.
Well, our disparity is significant, but compared to District 4, it's Ada County's even worse than Canyon County is in District 3. So we're not unique to the state.
No. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think the way that the health districts were created, over 50 years ago was, I would suspect the legislature's wisdom at the time was that there was an urban-ish county that was kind of like a center point to support, ensure that there was public health services available to all counties in the state.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And not that they did it perfectly, but I think that was their intent. And I know that for rural states like Idaho across the country, we're often looked at as a good example of how to deliver public health services. Hmm. Interestingly enough, as challenging as it may be.
Let them talk to Commissioner Brooks.
I'm not saying it's perfect.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Other comments or questions for today's presentation?
I don't have any, Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Any closing remarks? All right. You're welcome. All right. If that's that, let's take a brief recess to the next item, please.